Last week we talked about the weddings, right? About the king went out to invite all these people to come for his son's wedding, and nobody wants to come. And then he opened up the banqueting hall for everybody to come. So that seems to suggest that hey, wedding is about eating and drinking, because the king showed them the menu and says, okay, we have fattened calf and everything is ready for you. But let me ask you, you go to weddings, right? What are you looking forward to in a wedding? Especially those who have, you know, RSVP, right? You do RSVP. RSVP is to what? Is to count number of people who are going to come and eat. Right? If you don't have any food, you don't need any RSVP, right? You don't need any RSVP. So in other words, when you have a wedding, it seems to me people put their focus on the banquet. The banquet. Even the bride and the groom says, okay, let's feed them. Let's give them a good time. But, you know, I think in the wedding, in the parables in the Bible, it's not the banquet that is really our focus. It's the wedding. The wedding of the groom. And just keep that in mind. Because I think for us, we often kind of separate that. The banquet and the wedding as like two different things, because they are two different times too. You know, sometimes the wedding is the morning and the banquet is maybe later on. But Jesus never separated the two. Wedding, banquet. Wedding, banquet. But we want to keep our focus. We want to keep our focus on the groom, on the wedding. Keep our focus on what the pastor will say at the wedding. And then later on, the celebrations, the joyful celebrations. Okay, so keep that in mind. And as we read through this, parable of 10 virgins, this is in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fall asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other also came. "Sir, sir," they say, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Let's pray. Lord, we pray. You show us. You teach us to be watchful, as you tell us from these parables. In Jesus' name, amen. So the parable, the interpretation, the conclusion of the parable is verse 13, right? It goes through all the stories, the parable, and then he concludes. It says, okay, I'm telling you, this is what it means. It means that you're going to keep watch. Why does he say that? What's the parable? There are five who did not keep watch, and there are five who were. And then there are five who were excluded from the banqueting hall, and there are five who went inside the banqueting hall. So this is very clear. It's very clear of the storyline. The storyline. So the first thing is that the preparations. Be watchful to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself what? Well, prepare, in this case, prepare yourself to welcome the groom. Welcome the bridegroom to come to you. Come to us. So the wise virgin, what do they do? Well, why are they wise? Because they have extra jars of oil. Now, these lamps, it's not like they are empty. The lamp has oil in it. But that's it. Once the oil runs out in the lamp goes dark. So, for all the virgins, including the foolish and the wise, is that they figure if everything goes well, this should be enough. This whatever oil in the lamp is enough. But what distinguished the wise from the foolish is that the wise consider, what if something happened? What if something happened? So the wise are prepared. They are prepared for every circumstances. Every circumstances. Preparations. And the foolish says, okay, I got the lamp. I can do this. You know, the Jewish wedding usually starts at dusk because that's the beginning of the day for the Jewish day. It's not the sunrise, it's the sundown is the beginning of the day. So they have their wedding in the beginning of the day, and the sundown is at during the sundown. So everybody who goes to the wedding will have to carry a lamp to go to the wedding. And especially for the wedding parties. The wedding party are there, actually they're not in the banqueting hall. They are outside the village waiting for the groom to show up. Waiting for the groom to show. Actually, the groom has already probably gone to the bride's village, already visited her, and now he is bringing his bride to his hometown. So all these virgins were there to welcome the wedding party to come in for the groom to return to his home. So that is the background of the virgins and the lamb. Now, the lamb is critical in leading the way in the darkness, because by the time that the bride and the bridegroom showed up, it's already dark. There is no light. And so at the dark, so they need the light to take them into the banqueting hall. And the foolish says, okay, you know, there should be enough light for me to escorting the groom to the banqueting hall. But the groom was late in coming.
The groom was late in coming. Now, this is the delay actually shows the wise and the foolish. If the groom were on time, then you won't know, because everybody has enough oil to escort the groom. But because the delay, it shows the difference. So, because of delay, you see the preparations and the unpreparedness of the virgins. Now, what does it mean to prepare in our context? In our context, we are to welcome Jesus to come back to us, because Jesus promised that he will come back. He'll come back. So we, in many ways, we are all like the virgins. We are waiting for Jesus to come back. Now, Jesus has delayed his returning. And you know, the early church always thought that Jesus would return during their lifetime. So they will give up a lot of things in their lives, because once Jesus returned, everything doesn't mean anything. Your bank account, your land, doesn't mean anything anymore. The kingdom of God has arrived. So the early church were always expecting Jesus to come back during their lifetime. So they were, they gather, you know, if you read Acts, they gather, they have communion, they encourage each other, they help each other in the needs. That's how they prepare to meet Jesus. But then Jesus got delayed. Well, we know Jesus hasn't come back yet. It's been 2,000 years. So it is very likely a lot of us have become more complacent. If he's delayed 2,000 years, he's probably not going to come back during my lifetime. So we become complacent. And what he is speaking to me about this preparations is that you are to meet the bridegroom, right? You're to meet the bridegroom. So when you meet Jesus, when he comes back, there's some question I believe Jesus will ask us, and then you need to answer to Jesus, because it's about a person, right? When you're welcome back, it's about a person. And then these are the questions I thought is helpful to me as I prepare for his return. The first questions that I believe Jesus will ask us: what did you do with the resources I gave you? What do you do with the resources I gave you? I mean, resources can be many things, right? Your time, your money, your talent. God gave you all this. What did you do with that? Second question: is there any fruit of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Where are these fruit? You have the Spirit in your life? The third question, I think for those of you who are married, have children: where are your children? If you don't have children, or you're not married, where are your parents in relation to God? In relation to God. And then I think you need to answer to God is, how often do you seek him? I mean, seeking in prayers, seeking in studying his words. How often do you do that? How much desire do you have? These are preparatory questions that you prepare when Jesus comes to you? And how often that you confess your sin to God and seek His forgiveness? I mean, these are things I think you think about it. I'm not saying that this is exactly the questions, but I think these are the important things that Jesus gave us, and the important thing that the scripture teaches us. And it is it's important to have an answer to Jesus when He returns. That's part of the preparations. And then the second part, you see, these people all went to sleep because the bridegroom was delayed. They all went to sleep. They become drowsy and fell asleep. To keep watch is to recognize that you are in the world. You're still subject to your physical limitations. You're still drowsy. The wise virgin went to sleep, was drowsy. So is the foolish virgin who went to sleep and drowsy. So to keep watch doesn't mean that you have to be live on pins and needles or be anxious all the time. When is he coming back? When is he coming back? Is it today? Is it now? No, you live your life. But you recognize is that you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You recognize that's the difference between foolish and wise. The wise virgin knows that they are in the wedding parties. They are welcoming the groom. Their focus is that. Where the foolish, I don't know where their focus is. Maybe it's on the banquet. But to keep watch doesn't mean that you had to live on pins and needles and live in anxieties. You recognize that you are in the world, but you are not of the world. I have a friend who he thinks prepared to meet God. How do I know that? Oh, my wife can also testify to that. He, in his basement, has prepared food and water, because he believed in the apocalypse. When he comes, there will be times of sufferings and all that. So he prepared to meet Jesus by physically, materially prepare to sustain for, I don't know, 7 years. You know, they're talking about the big, you know, tribulation, 7 years. So he have enough. I don't know if it's last 7 years, but he has in his basement, you know, crates of these freeze-dried food and water. And he offered it to us. He said, Pastor, you know, if you ever starving to death during this apocalypse, you can come. We can share the food and the drinks. Very nice of him. But I don't think that's what Jesus had want us to do when he says watchful. It's not so much that you always live in that anxiety and then prepare material and physical things. But I think Jesus is more interested in the spiritual aspect of when you meet him. And that has to do with, now you are in the world, but you are not of the world. I think that's the wise virgin will understand that. Even though we all live in the world, but we are different from the world. Okay, so keep watching also means that be ready for the moment. And finally, the groom showed up in verses 6 and 7, right? It's the midnight. It's very dark. And the virgin woke up, trimming their lamp. Like, as I said before, the foolish and the wise is distinguished because of the delay. Prepared and unprepared become clear.
because of delay. So we are called to be always ready, always prepared for that one moment. You know, I think many Christians, I have baptized many of them, believe once they're saved, they have the eternal ticket for heaven in their pocket, so they go on living their lives as usual, as before. Never give much thought of meeting God again. These are the people who are unprepared to meet Jesus. Their answer to God when he comes is, I didn't know you're coming today. I didn't know that. If I had known, I would prepare to welcome you. I imagine Jesus would say, you have always known I will be back. You should anticipate it and prepare for this moment. So the question for us is that, are we prepared? Like I said, ready to answer those questions? I think that's a good start. Good start to answer. Your answer to those questions shows how prepared you are to meet Jesus. And last moment effort is not going to cut it. See the foolish virgin trying to borrow some oil from their for their lamp? And foolish virgin went to buy more oil and missed the time, missed the arrival of the groom. And procession went on. Procession is not going to wait for the foolish to get their oil and move on. So the fate of the foolish virgin is fixed. In the blink of an eye, the foolish virgin will lock out the banqueting hall. Not because they didn't want to be there. Like the last parable, you know, the king went to all these people. They were invited who were given the save the day, but they didn't want to come. No, this group, these foolish virgins, and then there are other people too, wants to go in, but they were not allowed to go in because the door has shut. They missed it. Opportunity. They missed the opportunity. And we can always say, okay, that banqueting hall is the messianic kingdom. And the messianic kingdom is when the door is shut, no one can open. This is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And the voice from inside says, I never know you. So when you're excluded out from the banqueting hall, in a sense, is that because the groom never know you. And also because you never know the groom. You never know the groom. Because your focus is not on the groom. You know, I've been thinking about this. I said, okay, it's not hard to understand this parable. Just get ready. Just get ready. You know, answer those questions and be faithful in what you do. Don't waste your money. Easier said than done. The role of the virgins was to be there to welcome the groom for the wedding. Wedding is the main event. The groom is the main event. Partying, the banqueting is later. Like I said, Jesus never separated the two, but we do. If my focus is on welcoming and accompanying the groom,
If my focus is on the groom, I will make sure that I am prepared for this event. I'll be more thoughtful and considering the question, what if the groom is late? What if the groom got hurt? You know, what if? There's a lot of what if, and then you prepare for that. Because your focus is on the welcoming party, welcoming the groom. But on the other hand, if my focus is on the party, not the groom, then I may not spend a lot of time thinking of the wedding, the welcoming, the honor of accompanying the groom. I will be thinking of the food, the dancing, the rejoicing. When we lose focus on Jesus, rather focus on the premature celebration, this leads us to complacency. You know, when my son got married, there are people who are come to the banquet. They RSVP. They come for the receptions, but they don't show up for the wedding. Because maybe they think it's kind of boring, you know, sitting there watching the two giving each other vows. So they do show up for the celebrations, the dancings and all that, but wedding, maybe they have other things to do. It's the focus what the wise virgin focusing on the wedding, the groom, the processions that lead the groom into the banqueting hall. Where the five foolish, I'm not saying this is what Jesus said, but I'm just thinking in my mind's eyes, their focus is not so much on the wedding party, not the processions, not on the groom. Maybe many other things occupy their mind. But you think about today, I'm asking you, are you more excited to meet Jesus? Or you're more excited about all that he brings with him? Are you focusing on meeting the lamb that was slain? Or you're focusing on the New Jerusalem, where there shall be no more tear, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain. This is Revelation 21:4. People are looking at heaven as a place, and they want to be there. They want to be there in heaven. And we, sometimes as Christians, we present it that way as well. Look at, you can go to heaven, eternal life. No more pain, no more, everything is big, happy. No more sorrow. Oh yeah, by the way, Jesus is there too. Or you want to go to heaven because it is where Jesus is, that we will see him face to face. Wedding banquet is not about the banquet, about the eating, the celebrations, but about the groom. It's about the groom. Just like kingdom of God is not a place, but where the king dwells. Where the king dwells. And what excites us and comfort us is Jesus. Is that we celebrated with Jesus. We are called to prepare to meet him, rather than called to prepare to celebrate and rejoice. My satisfaction is meeting Jesus and have him said to me, good and faithful servant, come and enjoy your master's happiness. That's the moment. I have been preparing all my life. When Jesus said, come, rejoice with me. My good and faithful servant. Let's pray.